May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to you, O God, my Lord and my Saviour. Amen. Please be seated. Very good to be with you this morning. There is a Sunday in the church calendar called Rotation Sunday. This has nothing to do with that, but nevertheless we are rotating. I'm going to follow the theme that you've been following, which is to move through the various books of the Bible. And Guy, in his wisdom, has given me Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians to cover in 5 minutes. We'll do our best. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians are three short but very rich books among the letters of Paul in the New Testament, written somewhere between AD 54 and AD 62. And one of the main themes that you'll find in these books is what it means to be a Christian where you are. That may be in the workplace, it may be not in the workplace, but where you spend most of your life. Someone has called it the front line of our lives. It could be our offices, factories, schools, households, the local store, the bus stop, in fact, every place of work and where you live. The book of Ephesians notes that we have the opportunity in life to do our work with enthusiasm to the Lord. For instance, we would agree to show respect to all that we meet. We would agree not to use inappropriate language with the people we meet, or to gossip. We would agree to be guided by biblical values when making decisions, and to speak of our faith in Jesus whenever there is an opportunity. In Philippians, Paul encourages us to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Greek word means to put it in the balance. So you have two sides of a scale, and on one side you have the life of Christ and all that he taught, and on the other side you have your life and how you live it. Is it worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he gives two particular commands in chapter 2. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others better than yourselves. And secondly, he says, look not to your own interests, but also to the interests of others around you. So our front lines offer unlimited opportunities to demonstrate that kind of life. We can be generous in giving credit to others for success. We can listen to what somebody else is saying when we're discussing something instead of thinking ahead to our reply. We could try another person's idea instead of insisting on our own way. We can give up our envy at another person's success or promotion or higher salary, and so on. In Galatians, Paul shows us how the Holy Spirit gives us all that we need to cultivate that kind of life. For the Holy Spirit, he says, will bring love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in that way, Paul tells the Ephesians, we live differently from the world around us. We worship differently. We work differently. And he stresses that God had those plans in place for every human being before the foundation of the world. He graciously chose us for a relationship with him to live out his purpose in the word. Chapter 2 tells us that God has created us in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So we're not saved by the things that we do. We're not saved by works, but for works, for doing things. Now, you'll know that everything we do requires effort, whether we drive trucks or raise children, write articles, sell shoes, or care for the disabled and the aged. Whatever you do, it all requires personal effort. So, what motivates us to get out of bed in the morning? What keeps us going throughout the day? What energizes us so that we can do our work with faithfulness, even to do it with excellence? There are a wide variety of answers to those questions. It may simply be because we need the money, or we love what we do. Some may say that caffeine is the thing that will keep us going throughout the day. But Paul, when he's writing to the Christians in Philippi, says that our work is not the result of things that we do, but it is God's work in us. That's what gives us our energy. God empowers us to serve alongside him. And that's important to know, because when things are hard, when things don't go the way that we expect them to go, we need to know that God is with us and by our side, empowering us. Paul himself is an example of that. He wrote to the Philippians while he was in a prison cell, and he was there because he'd been preaching about Jesus. And as well as thanking them for their support in his ministry, he gives them encouragement and teaching to equip them on their front lines. And whenever they discover there are threats to the way that they're living under Jesus, so that they can live out their faith on their front lines with confidence, knowing that whatever happens, God will give strength and courage, making them more like Jesus as their life progresses. So right at the very beginning of the book of Philippians, he encourages them by saying, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now, part of the teaching of this book is also to prepare his readers for things that muck up God's plan in our lives. And in these letters, two warnings stand out in that regard. He mentions the things that prevent good testimony: friction. And so he asks the Philippians to help two women, Euodia and Syntyche, to make peace with each other. Sadly, conflict can occur between the most faithful Christians. We all know that. And so we need to start to nurture the things that will work against resentment. To think, as Paul says to the Philippians, about what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is pleasing, what is commendable, what is excellent and praiseworthy in each other. He says, think about those things. If we can do that, then any conflict can be resolved, and a restored relationship and mutual respect will nearly always follow. The second warning that I want to highlight is about twisted motivations, particularly the ones that are controlling in nature. Sometimes we may hear people talk about so-and-so being a control freak. There's nothing new about that. So one danger of setting high goals in our own behavior is that we make others abide by them too. And very quickly, we turn the Christian life into a set of rules, rather than our free response to God's grace and a relationship that is centered on Jesus. And that is exactly what happened in Galatia in the mid-first century. The Galatians were influenced by people from the outside who claimed to be Christians, but who insisted that the Christian life required keeping the law of Moses in its entirety. So Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians in order to set them back on the right track, and his basic instructions are that believers are to live in freedom, not into slavery to the law of Moses or any other earthly power or person. Several times in the New Testament, Paul uses this language and the imagery of slavery to signify the absence of freedom, to remind his readers that they are free in their faith in Jesus. So he says in Galatians, "You are no longer a slave. You are a child." And it wasn't just the thought that we might be enslaved to laws again, but that in our responsibility for others, we might become like slave masters, telling others what to do, implying that our way is the only way and the right way. And so we, with the best sense in the world sometimes, can be guilty of trying to control others. And that denies freedom, and it always stifles creativity. Thus, these letters give us an insight into the way Paul lived out his Christian life. And rather boldly, he says to the Philippians, speaking of himself and others that he trusted, like Epaphroditus and Timothy, who was a young man that he was training into the ministry, he says this: join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example that you see in us. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for these ancient texts, these letters written so long ago and yet have a reality about them for our lives today, because we recognize that human nature has not changed. We pray that we may be imitators of those who proved a life worthy of the gospel. We thank you for Paul, for his experiences, for the things that he went through, persecutions, because of his love for you. And help us to stand up for you, despite the fact that sometimes people will persecute us verbally and sometimes even physically. Help us in this, Lord, to continue to live a life that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen.